In all my years of being introduced, I don't think I've ever been introduced any differently than that one right there, all right? So when Dumb and Dumber are your lead-in, it's got to go up from there. That's all I can say about that. How are you today? Help me welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us today. Whichever campus you're at, we're glad you're there. My name is Eddie Couples, and I get the opportunity week in and week out as the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries to preach not only here at North Campus, but all the other campuses that are joining with us. And so we're glad you're there. In fact, I'm going to be at the Savannah campus tonight at 6 o'clock. So I want to remind all of you in Savannah and that area, we'd love to see you there tonight at 6. We began last week talking on this subject of who, what, and where. We talked last week about who am I. And as we looked at that last week, here's what we came to an understanding of, that the only way that we really can determine who we are is to come to that place where we have an understanding of who Jesus is and that he's in our life and that as he gives us direction and impartation, then we can walk with him. Today I want to talk about what difference do I make, okay? Here's what I really believe. I really believe that every person that's born has something that God has called them to do. In each and every one of our lives, one of those burning questions that kind of haunt us at night when we lay down is, what difference am I making? In fact, I would dare say that some of you chose the profession that you're in because you wanted to make a difference. Maybe you said, you know what, I'm going to be a teacher, or I'm going to be a lawyer or a doctor, or I'm going to do this or that or the other. And the mindset was that when you went into that was that you were going to make a real difference. The problem is that sometimes after a few years of doing what we thought was going to be so wonderful and so great, all of a sudden the stress and the turmoil and all of the issues kind of have a way of pushing down on us, don't they? Am I the only one? Right? And you find yourself, even in professions that we would say, man, that's a profession that's really making a difference in people's lives, we find ourselves beginning to really get discouraged. And it's like, you know what? I don't know if I can make this. I don't know if I can overcome this. I don't know if I can get to that place that I need to be doing this. And am I really making a difference? But here's what I want to tell you. I believe with all of my heart that each and every individual was created by God. God, and the Bible says, in his image and in his likeness, and that's what we talked about last week. And so I want to encourage you today, as you listen to me, whether you are a Christ follower today or not, listen to what I'm going to say, because I think I'm going to give you some insight into your life that can help you to live out what it is that God's calling you to do. I think sometimes we get the feeling that maybe we're too old or too young to really do what it is we're called to do. We kind of have a tendency in our lives to judge ourselves a little harshly, okay? Here's what I mean by that. Well, we look at history and we say, well, you know, I haven't made the difference that George Washington made. Well, no, you aren't George, right? Or maybe you look at a Nelson Mandela that spent all those years in prison and then came out to lead South Africa after apartheid, and you say, man, I look at his life and I look at what he's done. Or maybe you look at a Mother Teresa and you see all the things that she did, and all of a sudden you start looking at yourself and you go, man, I haven't done anything, right? The problem with that is the Scripture tells us not to do that. Here's what the Bible says. The Word of God says that you are unwise when you judge yourself by yourself. In other words, when you look out at other people who God has called to do something that's different than you, if you judge yourself by what they're doing, you're always going to feel one of two ways. Either you're going to feel superior because you're doing so much better, right? Come on, you know that you've had those moments you look at somebody and say, I know I'm better than them, right? It's kind of that intro today. I look at Dumb and Dumber, I know I'm better than them, right? Okay? You look at them and you say, man, they're doing so much, I'm really not accomplishing much. And yet what I find is that it doesn't matter where we are in life, that each and every one of us are called of God to make a difference. I read a story just recently about an 86-year-old man who's in a nursing home down in the Atlanta region. And the story goes is that he retired, of course, and now he's wound up in a nursing home and kind of felt, you know, as you get those places in life, those seasons of life that you don't feel productive. And yet, here's this engineer, his mind is still sharp, and he found out that the neonatal area of one of the hospitals there, that each year they have 2,000 preemie babies in there. And so he heard that one of the needs that families are so stressed out during that time that the babies just need a little knit cap to kind of keep their head warm. And so he called his daughter and he said, look, he said, I don't know the first thing about knitting, but he said, I'm an engineer. Bring me the instructions and I'll figure it out. Now remember, he's 86 years old. And so he began to knit. Over the next few months, this man began to knit, and he knitted 100 caps by himself. He figured it out. He did it. But not only that, the nurses in the nursing home saw what he was doing. They got excited about it, and they started knitting. And then there was a school that heard about it. They started knitting. And on the day that there's a day that's celebrated in America for preemies. On that day, they presented that hospital 300 knit caps because somebody had said, you know what, it doesn't matter how old I am, I can still make a difference, right? And I interviewed one of the parents and they said, you know what, you would think that that really doesn't mean a lot, but just to know that somebody cares, come on, about where we are and what's going on in this time of our life means the world to us. You say, well, Pastor, that's for old people. Well, I just read recently during the hurricane and all the thing that's been going on in Texas and Florida that there were two little girls. I think one was 9 and one was 10. And they said, we got to do something. We've got to figure out how to help people. And you know what they did? They set up the little lemonade stand and started selling lemonade and made several hundreds of dollars to make a difference. Listen, you say, Pastor, what are you saying? It doesn't matter how young you are, and it doesn't matter how old you are. If there's still breath in your body, you can make a difference, right? That's what I want to get across to you today. And so whoever you are today, wherever you're at in life, I want to help you to come to that place. I'm going to give you some keys. I'm going to give you some real practical things today as I give you just some direction from the Word of God as well as just some practical things you can put in your life. William Barclay said this. I came across this quote years ago, and it's helped me in my life. He said that there are two great days in every person's life, okay? He said the day that you are born is the first one. Come on. In other words, if you don't have the first one, you can't have the rest of them, correct? He said, so the day you're born is one of those days. He said, the second great day in your life is the day that you discover why you were born. All right? And so here's what I want to do today. Some of you, you've got it. You know why you were born. You know you've got a mission. You've got a purpose in life. You're going forward with it. So some of the rest of you may be at a place today and you're going, you know what? I used to think I knew what I was supposed to do. I used to be passionate about it. Here's what I want to do. I want to re-energize you today. I want to refire your jets today and get you moving into everything that God has for you. Let's read the Word of God. The book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible today because it reads I just like the way it reads. That's why I'm reading it out of it, okay? Here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Now think about that for me. He says, it's in Jesus that we find out who we are and what we're living for. And he goes on to say, long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he said, in other words, when you hear about Jesus, it raises your hopes. He said, Jesus had his eyes on us. Now think about that. Before you ever ask him to be your Lord and Savior, he had his eyes on you. And the scripture goes on to say, he had designs on us for glorious living. Think about that. I want to challenge some of you today, and I want to ask you a question. Are you living gloriously, or are you just living? Right? Jesus said that he came to give us glorious life. And it goes on to say, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. So nobody's left out of this. You can't say, well, I didn't get this. It didn't come to me. No, he said, I'm doing it in everything and everyone, that I am bringing them to a place that they can live to make a difference. So let's get into it. How do I get to that place where I'm living out my design that God has for me? First of all, your relationship with Jesus gives you purpose. Okay, it's out of that relationship where you come and you say, you know what, I know I may have done some good things before I found Jesus Christ and I came in a relationship with him, but here's what I've determined, that once I became a believer, once I gave my life to Christ, there was purpose that came into my life at that moment. I mean, think about this. Think how interesting this is. A few years ago, and I lose track of time, but a few years ago, a guy wrote a book called The Purpose-Filled Life. That book was on the number one New York Times bestsellers list for over 2 years. It was written by a pastor of all things. Rick Warren wrote that book, and people all over the world said, if you can show me my purpose, I don't care. I may be a Buddhist, I may be Hindu, I may be whatever, but if you can show me how to live life with purpose, I'm going to read that book. Why? Because all of us want to live life with purpose. Right? Do me a favor. Help me in this sermon today, would you? Would you be willing to help me today in this sermon? I'm not going to call you on the stage. You can relax. Here's what I want you to do. Would you look at your neighbor today and say, you can make a difference? Come on, help me. All right? Those of you watching, tell your neighbor, you can make a difference. All right, you really can. You've been given this purpose in your relationship with God. Secondly, your purpose in life is chosen by God. Okay? Now, let me say this to you. You may choose what profession you go into. You may decide what kind of work you're going to go into. But your purpose in life is chosen by God. God's going to align that and bring it into what he wants for your life. And thirdly there, your life fits into God's design for humanity. Now, don't miss that. I want to slow down just a moment there. Your whole life's purpose fits in to God's purpose for all of humanity. All right? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, everybody listen carefully for a minute. In the last 25 or so years, I've been pastoring for a long time. In the last 25 years or so, I've noticed something happen in the body of Christ, and that is we have become very self-centered. All right? We want sermons about how to be blessed and how to have new cars and how to live in nice houses and come on, right? We want to know how to have the favor of God and all these. And I'm not against any of those things, and I think that they're biblical. But here's what we've got to understand. According to Scripture, your life was given to you, and the design God has on your life is so that you can impact all of humanity, not become all wrapped up in yourself. All right? I meet people all the time who live in nice houses, drive wonderful vehicles, make more money than a lot of us have ever thought about making, but still are who some of the most miserable people on this earth. All right? I taught a few years back, I talked with a guy who does consulting in Nashville, and we were doing some consulting with him, and he said to me, he said, Eddie, he said, do you know who the bulk of my clients are? I said, I don't have a clue. He said, it's men and women in their 40s and 50s who have made a lot of money. He said, in fact, a lot of these people are making seven figures. I didn't say six, I said seven. Okay? And he said, yet they have reached this point of life where they feel so dissatisfied with life. He said, they're coming to me trying to get me to help them to restart their life all over again. And he said, you would be blown away by how many of these men and women will walk away from that kind of money to find something that brings purpose into their life so that they can make a difference in somebody else's life. You and I have got to come to that place where we understand that's how God made us. You are never, ever going to be happy if it's all about you. I'll read the Bible. That'll help you. The book of Romans 12 says this. Romans 12, 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. What is the pattern of this world? I've said it before. Get all you can all you get, and then sit on your can. right? Come on. It's all about who you can impress. It's all about your Facebook profile. It's all about, why am I on Facebook lately? Anyway, it's all about the image that you're putting out there. And so Scripture says to us, listen, here's what Paul says. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who cares what they say that your life needs to be on the Kardashians? Amen? Who cares what reality TV says about how you ought to live life? The Scripture says, listen, you've got to have a transformed mind to come to that place. He says, so be transformed by the renewing of mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will for your life. And so here's what we've got to do. We've got to come to that place where we understand you and I have been called by God to make a difference. The problem is that we don't really know how to get to that point of life to live that out. And so we struggle with that. And so have you ever seen people that, you know, they do this for a little while and that doesn't sound, they go here. And every time you see them, they've got a new venture. They've got a new idea. They got a new thing they're doing. And the problem is that they've never come to the place of understanding that God has designed them to make a difference on this earth. See, here's the deal. The way to determine in your life the difference that we are called to make is by discerning the will of God. What is it that God's calling you to do? Here's what I'll tell you. Somebody that's watching me compared to somebody sitting over here, you're not to be doing the same thing because God's called you to do something different. You can't look at your spouse. You can't look at a family member and say, well, this is what I'm supposed to do because this is what my family does. How many of you, let's do this. How many of you have ever gone to a little league or t-ball game? You been there? Let me ask you another question. How many of you have spotted, you ready? The disappointed jock in the bleachers. You know how you know? They're screaming at their kid. Right? Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. The guy who is hollering the loudest at his kid to make the play or to catch the ball is somebody who either in college or high school or somewhere didn't make it, and so now he's trying with all of his heart, come on, to make that kid live out his dream. Listen, let me help you, parents. Don't try to give your kids their dream and their design for life. Let God give it to them. When we come to that place of understanding that God has a purpose in our life and that we can learn to discern the will of God, then we can begin to move on. So how do I go about finding God's will for my life? There are three things that I want to give you. These are very practical things, and I want you to hear them because I'm a practical kind of guy, okay? First of all, to find God's will involves my talents. You say, Pastor, what are my talents? It's those natural abilities that you kind of are born with, okay? Maybe you've got that four-year-old who sits down at the piano and starts picking out songs, and you go, wow, nobody's ever taught this kid anything. They've just got a natural ability. Or maybe you come in one day and they've taken their skill of drawing and they've used it all over the house. All right, it's up to you to focus that. I talked to somebody just recently and said, I did that at a young age, and my parents took me, they focused it and showed me some things they'd done. And it's wonderful when you have that natural ability or that natural talent. The second thing is our skills. Now, what's the difference in talents and skills? Well, our skills are our abilities that are acquired through instruction and training. All right, this is very, very practical stuff. In your life, you say, how am I going to fulfill what it is that God wants me to do? Well, first of all, what talents do you have? And you look at them and say, well, I don't have any. Well, you probably do. Let somebody help you. But what are your skills? What is it that you've been trained to do? What is it that somebody's worked with you? I mean, when you study Scripture, the Apostle Peter was a fisherman. His dad was a fisherman. He had been trained to be a fisherman. Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. So somebody had trained him. Somebody had given him the skills to become a doctor. There's a saying here in the South, and it's the only place I've ever heard it said, is right here in this region when they talk about doctors or lawyers, and they say, well, they made a doctor. They made a lawyer. I've never understood what that meant, but how many of you have heard that, right? The older people say that a lot. Well, what's happened is that somebody gave them instructions and gave them direction, and now they've got a skill in their life. The Apostle Paul, the Bible says, was a tent maker. He knew how to sew tents. He knew how to put a tent together and sell it and make money from it, et cetera. On top of that, Jesus was a carpenter. Right? I mean, you don't find Jesus doing anything until 30 years of age. So during that time that he's an adult, how many of you know he's working? He's being a carpenter all of this time in his life. So he took those skills that he had and he used them. The third thing in living out your will and God's will in your life are spiritual gifts. Now, some of you thought I ought to started with that, but I really don't think we do. The spiritual gifts are this. They are special abilities that come to an individual through the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? It's not something you naturally have. It's not a gift you have, but it's something that God gives you in your life. Every believer has gifts that are available to them. Let me ask you a question. For those of you who are employed by somebody or you work in a certain place, how many of you would like to get a promotion and a raise? Would you hold your hand up? All right, campus is you too, guys, all right? All right, that's a lot of people. Do you want me to tell you how to do that? You ready? Are you ready? I'll give it to you if you're ready. Some of you aren't ready. All right, here's how. If you will solve a million-dollar problem, you'll get a promotion. And we laugh about that. And we say, ah, ha, ha, pastor's being funny. But pastor's not trying to be funny. You say, well, how do I do that? Through spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts aren't for the church, all right? Now, that's where we exercise them all the time, but spiritual gifts are for the marketplace. What would happen, think about this, and we've literally had this happen in this church at North Campus. I've had people come and tell me later about this, that there would be something at the place they worked, and there would be some kind of a real severe issue, and they would just pray and ask God to help them to have an understanding of what they ought to do, and they would go in and say, I think we ought to do this, and it worked, and I've seen people get promotions and raises because of that. See, the spiritual gifts that God gives you are to help you fulfill your destiny in life. Amen. Again, we've had it all upside down. Do you know what? When you read about spiritual gifts in Scripture, that every time it talks about spiritual gifts, it tells us spiritual gifts are not for us. It's for everybody else. It's for the building up, the Bible says, of the body of Christ is what the spiritual gifts are for. So it's not just so that we can use them. It's so that we can be a blessing to others in the sphere that they are living life in. Now, here's the deal. When I know the will of God, then I begin to make a difference and I live out my mission in life. I don't know how many of you grew up, most of you are younger than I am, but I grew up during the day where there was a Mission Impossible TV program. Now, I know they got movies, but he's short. Okay? And they make him look tall, but he's really not, all right? But I can remember growing up on the old TV program. Am I the only one? Anybody else remember that? Okay, you watch it on Nick at Night or something, just pretend with me, okay? And it was always, here's the mission, but it's up to you whether or not you accept the mission, all right? And that's the deal in our lives today. God has a mission for us to live out. The problem is that a lot of us aren't living up to what he's called us to do, okay? Now, what is mission? Here's what your mission is about. Mission is about God's unique purpose for your life. It's about what you are called to do, okay? It involves your personal life as well as your career. It involves everything about your life that's going on. And so here's what's got to happen. We've got to come to that place where we look at our lives and say, are we making a difference? Again, to quote a great theologian, are you on a mission from God? I can tell y'all are way more spiritual than I am. Because you thought that was, you didn't realize that was a Blues Brothers quote. Okay? Now, here's what I want to tell you. I am a type A personality person. I am a, if you take the DISC profile, I'm a high D, about as high as you can go. And so I'm very driven. I like goals. I like whatever. But I want you to understand something when I say this today. In your life, when you're living out what it is that God's called you to do, it's not about results. It's about obedience. All right, and I can prove that from Scripture. Philip has a red-hot revival going on in Samaria. People are getting saved everywhere. All kinds of signs and wonders are taking place. Just a massive revival, and God picks him up and says, here's what I want you to do. Don't stay here. I want you to go out into the desert, and I want you to meet one guy. Okay, and we refer to him as the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a servant to the queen of Ethiopia. Now here's the deal about that. When you study church history, the Ethiopian Coptic Church is one of the oldest churches in the history of the world, and it traces its roots back to the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip went to left Samaria. In the middle of a revival. There are some times in your life where it seems like what God is calling you to do doesn't make any sense. Come on, am I the only one ever been there? When God says, go do this, and you said, but Lord, really? Is that what you want me to do? It makes more sense for me to stay right here. And yet God says, go over here. So it's not about results in that moment. It is about obedience. It's about being devoted to God above everything else. Am I willing to sell out to Jesus Christ so that I can see his kingdom come and his will be done in my life and in my heart? Now, here's what I want to say to you real quickly. I believe with all of my heart that everybody has greatness down inside of them. How many of you have ever been around 3- and 4-year-olds? You ever spend any time with 3- and 4-year-olds? How many of you have a 3- or 4-year-old right now? Aren't they fun? Not really. Now, as a grandparent, they're fun, right? Because you can send them home, right? Come on. I didn't know how much fun it was being a grandparent till I became one. I'd have skipped that whole parenting thing and just gone right to this because, you know, you get tired, you say, hey, go to your mama, you know. I'm out, okay? But here's the deal about they believe everything. Right? I mean, they have no, their imagination is off the chart. I said earlier, I said, you know, they believe they could fly before they ever heard R. Kelly. I mean, they I can do it. I can fly over the moon. I can jump over the tree. Right? They just got, and then what happens is that we just beat it out of them. Life beats it out. See, every one of us started out creative. Every one of us started out believing we could do it. In fact, I remember when we were in Africa, again, for those of you who don't know, I was born and raised in Africa and lived in a mud house. And the only way, we didn't have running water, of course, and so we gathered water in rain barrels, big 55-gallon metal rain barrels that we had sitting outside of our house. Then we'd would take the water and boil it so we could drink it. And yet, I remember I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and I came in one day, and I said, I had seen an alligator in the rain barrel. The problem was nobody else could see it. And there was, we had a couple of girls that worked in the house, and one of them's name was Mary, and I still remember. Mary went to my mom, and she said, oh, mama, Eddie can lie. I wasn't lying. I saw it. It wasn't there. I was being like God. I was calling those things that are not as though they were. Right? But that, you know what? That's down inside of all of us, that we have the ability to dream and to believe for greater things than have happened. Listen, don't settle for what your life is. Now, I don't care how great it is now. Jesus one day said, I came that you would have life and that you would have that life more abundantly. It doesn't matter where you're at. God says, I want you to have more than you've already got. Your life is to make a greater difference than it ever has. Come on, people. We've got to get excited about what it is that God's called us to do. So how do I live out my mission? Let's do it quickly. Living out my mission, number one. And I struggled with this one. I kept going back to it a few months ago when I was writing this series. I put this down first, and I said, no, that's not right. Let's take it out. But I really kept it. It is right, okay? I'm just going to tell you. The number one thing you've got to do is you've got to deal with past hurts. All right? We've got to quit rehashing who did us wrong back there. Okay, I promise you, there are none of us who have lived over, 30 minutes that somebody hasn't done us wrong. Okay? And you say, well, Pastor, you just don't know how bad it is. I don't, but I promise you, it's keeping you bound from your destiny. You are never going to make the difference that God wants you to make as long as you keep letting a situation or somebody back there in your past to hold you back there. Because it's here's what it's like. It's like, have you ever seen people who have a dog and they have a chain around its neck, and that dog will run and it'll go so far and it'll just jerk that dog back? Well, I'm not calling you a dog. But I am saying that unforgiveness keeps you tied to your past. Release it today. Let it go. Move forward into everything that God has for you. Well, you pastor, they've never asked for forgiveness. Most of them won't. Hear me. In fact, here's what I've learned. The ones that hurt you the worst ask for forgiveness the least. But I just made up my mind. Listen, whatever you do, I refuse to allow you to determine my destiny. I am not going to let some, listen, God, I'll get out of this, but I'm not going to let somebody that I don't even like. Okay, I'm a carnal, I know it. You're more spiritual than I am. But I don't even like them, and so I'm going to let something they did to me hold me back from fulfilling the potential that God has for my life. Baby. I am going forward to do everything that God has for me. I'm letting it go. Secondly, you got to live out your identity. Who are you? Well, I'm God's child. I am a Christian. I am Christ-like. I am living out the character of Jesus Christ. And character is a lifelong journey, and you have to stay on guard because in a moment you can blow it. But here's the great thing, even if you blow it, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who ever lives to make intercession for us. In other words, it doesn't matter that I fall, it just matters that I get back up. The book of Proverbs says the righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. Listen, let me do this and I'm going to move on. But if I get back up one more time than I fall, I'm okay. That's where we've got to come in life to live. Thirdly, love must be preeminent. In my life, in your life, we've got to live from love. My mission in life is found in servanthood. Jesus Christ said it this way. He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to what? Serve, right? If you want to increase your influence, here's how you do it. Grow in your love. The people that have great, great influence in other people's lives are people who love greatly. And so if I really want to be somebody who's making a difference in other people's lives, then I'm going to have to up my love quotient just a little bit. See, here's the deal. My mission in life intersects with my divine design, my desires, and my opportunities. Okay, God's not calling you to do something that he doesn't give you the opportunity to do. Now, come on, somebody needed to hear that because somebody's been frustrated. Somebody has said, man, I think I'm supposed to do this, but I just... Maybe you didn't hear right, because if you don't have the opportunity to do it, God probably doesn't have the design on you to fulfill it. So sometimes we need to back up and say, I have frustrated myself long enough. let's figure out where I'm at in life, and let's do what it is God's called me to do. Amen? Let me close. Three things real quickly. We are called to love God. All right? If you're here or you're watching me today on television, wherever, and you haven't got a relationship with God, you're not walking with Him, you're not even sure. Maybe you're saying, I don't even know if I understand this God thing. Here's what I want to say to you. Whether you understand it or not, He loves you. And all you've got to do is love Him back. And if you'll just allow His love to come into your life today, He'll change you. And He'll do things for you that will blow your mind. So you got to love God. Secondly, you've got to love others. Now, sometimes I want to go back to number one on that number two. Come on, am I the only one? There are times I go, God, it's easy to love you, but these people, they're crazy. Right? Come on, you ever read in Scripture in Moses, where Moses is leading the children of Israel, and he'd get all frustrated, and he'd go to God, and he'd go, these people you've given me. I've prayed that prayer as a pastor. Lord, these people you've given me. Do you see that? Right? And God would say, leave them alone, they're going to be all right. And then there were other days, ever read this? There are other days God shows up and says, Moses, step aside, I'm going to kill them all. I've said for years, what would have happened if God and Moses got ticked the same day? It'd been a bad day, wouldn't it? So I got to love God, I got to love others, and lastly, I have to live truth. Live truth, not love truth. There's a lot of people that can quote truth at you. They can cut you to pieces with truth. I didn't say love truth. I said live truth. Truth comes from inside of us. Truth is not a list of guidelines and regulations. Truth is literally Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. When you and I begin to live out these essentials in our life, it brings us into alignment and we begin to see what it is that God has for our life. And again, let me close with this today. I don't know who you are. I don't know who's listening to me. I don't know who's watching me today. But I want to say to you, my responsibility today is to convince you that you can make a difference. You can make a difference. You say, Pastor, I'm too young or I'm too old. I want to tell you, you can make a difference. And I'll close with this. It's an old story. You say, well, the little thing I'm doing doesn't mean that much. We've all heard this story, but let me close with it. It's the story of the man who's walking on the seashore. And he looks down, and there's this little boy, 10 or 12 years old, that's on the sand. He keeps throwing stuff back into the sea. And the sand is littered with starfish. And he gets down there, and he looks at the boy and says, what are you doing? He said, I'm saving starfish. And the older, wiser man, like us, looks at him and says, son, you see all these starfish, you're not going to make a difference. The little boy picked one up, flung it out to the sea. He said it made a difference to that one. See, in your life, you may not clear the seashore. It may be just one that you're called of God to make a difference in. And when you make a difference in their life, the resounding echoes of history are changed because you made a difference in somebody's life.